Thank you to the Children's Ensemble Group. They always do such a good job. I want to take just a minute and tell Dr. Fannin thank you, because I know that it's not easy for a pastor to give up the pulpit, and I appreciate his confidence in me, because I know I'm not the best person to be up here. So, but I do appreciate the confidence that he has in me to present tonight's message. And tonight's message is one of those that I spent a great deal of time working on, and a few of us went to a conference this past week for a few days, and God brought me home Saturday and said, "You think you need to change a few things?" I'm like, "Come on, God, it's Saturday night. Do we really have to do this tonight?" But it's one of these that I feel like God has a message for more than just our parents that we're here dedicating. But baby dedication is for the whole church, because as a church, we also are committing to these families, that we are going to commit to them, to pray for them, and to help them in any way we can, because there's a lot of knowledge in this room. And when these parents need help or need encouragement, there's a lot of that in this room and in this church. So this dedication is much more than just these families. It's for our church as well. This is not a task I take lightly. It's behind this pulpit. I feel like God has blessed me enough to be here to do this, and I'm going to do my best, and I want to take that tonight seriously. And in order for me to do that, I need to pray for that, and I would just ask for you as a church to bow with me as we pray before we dive into God's Word. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this task that you've presented. But Father, more importantly, I want to pray for the families that were presented this tonight, the little ones, the lives that were brought up here. And Father, I pray for each one of those families tonight, that tonight as they commit to raise their families in a godly home, I pray, God, that you would give them the courage and the will to just follow everything you tell them to do. But Father, I also pray for our church, that we would take this commitment seriously, that we would commit to encouraging these families, to pray for them, to love on them. But Father, that's not just for these few that were up here, but that's for our entire church, our community. As a church, would we commit tonight to pray for the young families of our community and of our church? Because, Father, our world is telling them to go otherwise. So, Father, as a church, let's pray for these families and encourage them to raise their kids in a godly home and to be in the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we had a few church families dedicate their kids, and I want to talk a bit about the responsibility as parents and as a church to teach these children. Because not only are these parents going to be teaching their children, but we as a church will be teaching them. We're going to be teaching them to love Christ, to love others, but putting themselves last and serving the God of our universe and to serve our church. We know a baby dedication is where we dedicate our child to God and to raise them in a Christian environment, whereby teaching our children they will grow to love and to respect Jesus. Have you really considered what it means to give back your child to God? Now, I know some of you are thinking, "I thought that once, but God wouldn't take him back." And maybe you lost the receipt. So how do you take him back? But remember, Walmart will take anything back. All right? My parents used to tell me when they'd get really mad at me, they'd say, "We bought you on a blue light special at Kmart. We can take you back." And I know it's funny, but I bet the majority of us in this room have probably had that thought. But it doesn't change the love we have for our kids, does it? I know most of us listening tonight that have kids have had that thought. And I'm not suggesting that we literally give our kid back to God. He doesn't have a return policy. But we're called to love them and to teach them. I hope that every parent in this room that's listening, even on television and radio, I hope that we as a family have made the choice to dedicate our child and to commit our family to raising our kids in a godly home. And especially these days, that's not an easy task, because everything outside the home is teaching us otherwise. Tonight, I want to look at three elements of what committing and dedicating looks like. And these three elements, I believe, are important to the parents that stood here just a few minutes ago, but I believe these three elements are just as important for us as a church. So the first element that we're going to look at tonight is the element to recognize your children are a gift. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 127, 3 through 5, we're going to read that tonight. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Have you recognized in your life that your children are a precious gift from the Lord? They're a reward from God, but most importantly, they belong to God first, not to you. I want you to think back for a minute. Think back to that very first time that you held that precious gift. Now, for me, when I held my first son, James, I looked at him and he was tiny. Well, compared to some kids, not so much, but for me, he was tiny. And my first thought was, I could hurt him just by dropping him. But then I remembered that God gave me this life to teach and to guide. And there's that overwhelming feeling when you first hold your son or daughter that you can't really explain. That moment when they open their eyes and they look back at you, it's such a unique and special time, because we remember that there's something greater that created this little being. God has entrusted these kids to you, but they're His. They are a huge responsibility. Think back. For some, it's our first child. We don't quite really know what's coming. But think back as you raised your kids. It's a huge responsibility, isn't it? I thought my kids were expensive. I'm just getting into it. I mean, we're starting T-ball, and he wants to go swimming, and I'm like, whew, okay. It's a huge responsibility. But think of it as a different way. God has entrusted you with that responsibility. What a unique opportunity that God has given you. You know that feeling that you get as a mom or a dad? That if someone messes with your family, it's not going to be pretty, is it? That's how God feels about each one of us. As a child of God, God says, you mess with my son or daughter, I'm going to take care of it. And that's how we are with our kids. You mess with my kids, I'm going to pray for you. Because I know God will do a much better job than I will. But that's how we feel, isn't it? It's such a huge responsibility that we have to take care of these kids. God has blessed us with these kids, and we need to remember that God has a perfect plan, not just for you as the parent, but for these kids. We like to think what our kids are going to do when they grow up. I'm just trying to figure out what my kid's going to do for pre-K. But I hope that my kid will have a life better than me, and I'm sure he will. But God has entrusted this responsibility to us, and He has the perfect plan. We may not be able to see it yet. Some days it's hard to just see 4 feet in front of us. But He knows the exact moment when your kid is going to accept Him as his personal Lord and Savior. He knows when your kid is going to accept a calling to vocational ministry or to be a teacher or to be whatever God wants for him. Isn't that amazing? We can think about that, But the fact that God knows every little detail that's going to happen is amazing to me. The second element is to release their future to God. Look at Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Most of us probably know this by heart. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart." God has wonderful plans for each one of us in this room and that's listening, but he's already got a roadmap for your kids. If we will trust him with their future, he will take them and do great things. Sometimes it's hard to trust other people with our property, right? We don't like to think of it this way, but sometimes we kind of think of our kids as property, maybe. And it's hard to let somebody else have responsibility over our kids, right? It's hard enough for me to just kind of let my kids go to the babysitters for a little while. But we're talking about giving our kids back to God and entrusting him with their entire life. But he's made it perfectly clear in this passage. He knows exactly what our life is going to be like. He knows everything about our future, our kids' future, what's going to happen, when they're going to get hurt, when they're going to get married, when they're going to have kids, when they're going to get their first job, when they're going to graduate college. He knows all of that. He knows the exact moment that our child is going to pray and receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. But we have to do some work to get there. He promises us that each and every one of his children that are raised according to the scriptures will have a perfect plan according to his will, not ours. That's the hard part. We have to entrust our kids to him so much so that our will doesn't matter anymore. That's hard. As a human, we want the responsibility, right? We want the power to say, you are going to do this, because that's just human. But we have to let that go. And we have to let God take control of our kids according to the scriptures and according to his will so that they will do great things for him. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." If we put our kids into the Lord's hands and they turn to him, he will put his clean, pure desires in their hearts and give them what their hearts desire. Isn't that what we want for our kids? Isn't that exactly what we want for our kids? That the desires of the Lord Jesus Christ to be in their hearts. And all we have to do is entrust God with their lives. I don't know a parent out there that at one time or another has said, I want my kids to have a better life than me. We probably had a great life. I've had a great life. But we always want better for our kids. It's right here. Our kids can have a better life when they trust in Christ. God is telling us that if we put our kids in his hands, he will give them what their hearts desire. What could be better? God can give them more than we ever, ever could give them. And here's the scary part. God can love them more than we can, just as much as he loves each and every one of you. So when we give our kids to Christ, and according to the scriptures, and we raise them, and we teach them what's right, he'll give them the desires of their heart. But listen, most of us know that life doesn't always give you the good stuff. It doesn't always deal you the good hand. I've learned that over and over for the last year and a half. God doesn't always give the good hand. But there's a reason, okay? I've learned that lesson over and over, but here's what we can believe tonight. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We can totally trust God with our kids. Because here's the other part. He knows the good things, but he knows the bad things and when they're going to happen. So why wouldn't we entrust a God that knows everything in our life that's going to happen, good or bad? Because if God knows when the bad is coming, he can prepare our hearts. Now, we're not going to know what's happening, but I can firmly believe that a year and a half ago, there's a reason that God brought me to this church. There's a reason that God moved me closer to my family. And there's a reason that I got to spend more time with my brother and sister-in-law. Because he had a different plan. We don't always understand it. One day we will, hopefully. But with the good comes the bad. But he tells us, we know that in all things. He doesn't say some things. He doesn't say just in the good things. He doesn't say just in the bad things. He says all things works together for the good. That's pretty important to remember for our kids, right? Because there's going to come a day when they're not going to be happy. But it'll be okay. Because God tells us. We can totally trust our kids to God. He's going to work even the hard things in their life for their good, making them more like Jesus and using them to bring his kingdom here on earth. Psalm 139:13 tells us, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So just release the ownership of your children to God. Dedicate them to him. God is responsible for every little detail about your child, about you. He knows every head that's on your head, hair that's on your head. He knows how many of you might have an extra toe. He knows every little detail about you. So let us give the responsibility of our kids back to God. He designed them. He already knows the plans for their future, and he plans them to have a good future. The person that we're releasing them to isn't just another guy standing on the corner. He's the God of the universe, the one that knew your child before you even knew he was coming. Think about that. He knew you were going to have a son or a daughter before you even thought about it. That's an awesome God. He knows your child better than you. The third element is to realize your responsibility. Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So dads, can I be honest with you for a minute? This verse is telling us, don't cause irritation or annoyance to our kids on purpose. But it's so fun. I love to do that. Believe me. Believe the other dads. The frustration's going to come. You're going to annoy your son when it's prom night. It's going to happen. But I believe what God is telling us here is to not intentionally provoke our kids to anger and to frustration. What good does it do? What good is it to make your kid so mad that he says he hates you and runs off? But instead, turn the tide. Take the situation and raise the kid and teach them the instruction of the Lord. Because that's what we're called to do. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't waste your time with annoying them and frustrating them because it's fun. But take the time to train them in the instruction of the Lord. Frustration comes with the territory, but God's telling us not to intentionally do it. Proverbs 22:6, we heard this verse a couple times with some of our kiddos. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Do you want your kids to follow the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of great thinkers out there. We have a lot of books on parenting. Look at this. One sentence. One sentence can replace all the great thinkers, all the great books. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's kind of like, okay. Doesn't that make sense? If we teach them what's right, if we raise them according to the scriptures, he won't depart from it. Now, here's my question for you. And some of you parents have already felt this and seen it. Some of you are probably coming up on it because your kids are graduating high school. But I truly believe that high schoolers that are going into college are going to test their spiritual life the very first Sunday that they're out of your house. Why? Because they're going to wake up that Sunday morning and they have a choice. Do I get to stay in bed and sleep, or am I going to go to church? The Bible tells us, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. If we raise our children according to the scriptures, that morning our son or daughter is going to wake up and go, it's time for church. Because for a college student, there's nothing worse than walking into a room this size and not knowing anybody. So it's going to be real easy for Satan to go, you don't want to go do that. You're not going to know anybody. It's your first Sunday at college. Sleep in, enjoy it, relax. You got all year. You got 4 years. Some of you have 6 years. But if we raise our children up according to the scriptures, in God's will, that first Sunday, they're going to wake up and go, it's time for church. Let's go. And maybe they'll take their roommate or a friend with them. The promise of the Bible is if you train him in the ways of righteousness, when he or she grows up, they're going to stick with it. Now, I'm overwhelmed at that verse. I mean, you got to teach your kid everything that's right, everything according to the scriptures. That's a lot. But that's what the church is here for, to help. Now, we can't have the prime responsibility, but we're here to help. God has given us an awesome, awesome responsibility. If we look at Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. We need to realize God has entrusted us to show our children his ways and show them the way to him. We as parents and a church family need to be very dedicated to bringing our kids up in a godly home where God is honored and respected and where the love of God is shown all around. Because if we raise our kids in a home that doesn't even talk about God, how can we train our kids up in the way that they should go? So tonight we dedicate these children. But maybe for some of us, we rededicate our families. But we're really committing that we will be dedicated as parents to raise our children in a godly way, in a godly environment. So practically speaking, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for the parents that stood here just a minute ago? And what's it mean for us as a church family? First, be a God-respecting parent. Be sure you are loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Everything in you needs to live for and live like and love like Jesus. Everything in you. It's tiring. Because there's going to be a day that you want to quit, but that's when our kids need us the most. Second, teach your kids about Jesus. God does not have any grandkids. Every person on earth needs to become an adopted child of God, have their sins forgiven, and make Jesus their Lord. Jesus said the only way to the Father is through Him. You can't do it for your kids, but you can be the example. And you can show them how important it is. Now, for the parents, that's their job. But for those of us that are in the church, maybe our kids are grown and out, and we have grandkids that live afar. We still need to show the kids in our church and the young families of our church what it looks like to live for Christ. If you walk in the doors and you're one way, then when they see you at Walmart, that's not showing our families what it's like to live for Christ. We have to be all in or all out. Third, be active in the church. It helps our kids to grow up to know God. If you bring them to church with you regularly, they see that you value worshiping together and fellowshipping with other believers. If church is just something we do the second Sunday of the month, you're not showing our kids what importance it is on the church and the value of coming and learning about God's word in Sunday school and coming and sitting and listening to our pastor and to Brother Todd about the Bible and preaching God's word so that they can hear what God's plan is for their life. Because if we're not teaching at home and we're not going to church, how are they going to learn God's word and this magnificent plan that He has for their life? So be regular to church. Fourth, love your kids. Okay. Really love your kids. Give them quality and quantity time. Dads, listen. Our kids look at the way you love them and learn how Christ loves them. If you can't give quality and quantity time, they're going to look at God and go, He can't do that for me. But dads, when we take our kids and we spend quality time when we should be at the office doing something else, and dads, let me tell you, I have to be honest, I'm kind of speaking to myself here. Because I know there's times when James wants to come up to me and he says, Daddy, let's go play bait T-ball. And I'm like, I have to chase the ball and then you hit it in the pool. But you know what? That first swing, he's so excited. And he says, Daddy, look, I hit the ball. And it reminds you the love that Christ has for us. Pray for your kids. God still answers prayer. And He'll often choose to wait until we pray before He acts. Lift up your kids before the Lord, their needs, their future husband or wife, their purity. Pray for them. Because I can guarantee you, there's not too many other people praying for your kids. So take the responsibility to lift your kids before the Lord. I'll tell you, there are 5 people in the children's ministry, including myself, that take the entire list of our children that are enrolled in our children's ministry, and we pray for them. We block them out 5 or 6 names a day, and we pray for those kids every day. Because outside this building, this world is telling them to do something else other than be here and be in church and live for Christ. Our kids need our prayers. Train your kids in the way they should go. Don't let your kids get away with doing wrong without consequences. They need to learn to respect you, respect others, but also build them up in the confidence that the Lord loves them and will direct their paths and take care of them along the way. 7th, have a healthy family. spiritually and emotionally. A poor home life does not mean a messed up kid, but almost always a loving home means a well-balanced kid. Love each other and be kind to one another. Show your kids how much you love your wife or your husband, but love them. Pray for them. Be healthy spiritually and emotionally. Eighth, make your home a holy place. I'm not saying don't have fun, but parents, grandparents, if you're raising one of your grandkids or a family member, listen. Fight against the things of the world that will try to sneak in. Satan's getting good. And he's getting stronger because he's finding these holes to sneak little things into our kids, into our families. Guard against it. The things of the devil will mess up your family. Battle against pornography and sexual impurity. Fight against dishonesty and drunkenness and drugs. Don't be a hypocrite. If you honor God openly in your home, your children will have a good chance to choosing to follow Jesus. Make your home a place of peace and honor God's name in your home. Finally, be active in your Christian walk. Pray for others. Pray when there are problems. Pray with them at bedtime. Let your children see you praying and reading your Bible. Don't be afraid to trust God when things get bad. Give generously. Help the needy. Submit to one another. Be honest with your dealings. Turn the other cheek. Love God and love each other. Ask Him to show you what to do in your decisions in life. Make sure that your kids see you having an active, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if they can't see you doing that, they have nothing to look to. Ultimately, parents and guardians and grandparents raising kids, this is our mission. The role of the Christian parent is to be a missionary in the home, seeing our children as broken image bearers in need of a Savior. Isn't that all it's about? We don't like to think of our kids that way, but if they haven't accepted Christ, that's what we need to focus on. Being a missionary in our own home. Yes, we need to be a missionary in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our world. But if we're going across seas to be a missionary and we're not taking care of our family, what good are we doing? Be a missionary in the home. Joshua 24:14-15. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's possible to think of baby dedication as just a good luck charm. But here's the thing. It really means nothing unless you make a sincere commitment to dedicate and to raise your kids in a God-honoring home. This doesn't save our kids. We can't save our kids. Only the God that we serve can save our kids. Let's look at this a different way. One could ask, how important are the children? That's a good question. More than half of the people who will ever accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior will do so by the age of 12. Did you hear that? More than half of the people who will ever accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior do so by the age of 12. That's kind of scary. By the time a child is 9 years of age, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. Now, some of you are sitting there going, I have a 12-year-old. I have a 9-year-old. It's kind of scary when we look at it this way. By the age of 13, a person irrevocably formed the majority of their beliefs about the nature of God, the existence of Satan, the reliability of the Bible, the importance of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and whether they can be saved from sin. If we aren't honoring God today and raising our kids in a God-honoring home according to the Scriptures, look at what our kids learn before they even get to youth. We thought youth ministry was hard. Try children's ministry. That's scary. There is a 10-year window of opportunity between the ages of 4 and 14 that a person is most open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 10 years. Now, I'm not saying that a 30-year-old can't receive Christ. We see it every day. But this is telling us that it's an opportunity that they're most likely to receive Christ. And yet some have the view, not necessarily in our church, but in the world, they're just pretty little kids. We don't need to worry about them. This tells us otherwise. The kids that we're raising today have these fears. And because of the insecurities and challenges a child faces in life, a child is naturally open to a sense of belonging and a community of like-minded people, and they're willing to grow together. That's church. At that age, the kids are willing to go to church and to be involved. We as the church cannot fulfill God's heart for children without you as the parent. We get the honor of having our kids maybe 1 or 2 hours a week, depending on how involved you are. But think about it. That's 52 to 105, 10 hours a year-ish. You have them far more than we do. We can help. Children need to be our prime responsibility today, not tomorrow. Jesus is coming back. It may be today, it may be tomorrow or the next. We live our life planning and doing and planning some more. Let today be the day you start living a committed life for Christ. Let today be the day that you show your children that it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let today be the day that you sign up to help in the children's or the youth or another area of ministry in our church and to show your family what it means to serve. Let today be the day that you present your family to God and say, God, my family is yours, not mine. Take us where you want us. Let today be the day that you give your children and your family back to the Lord and live the life that God has planned for each and every one of us. Families, as you dedicate your child tonight, dedicate yourself to the Lord. Dedicate yourself to the fear of the Lord and to serve Him with all faithfulness. And raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Lord will bless it. Will you bow your heads with me tonight?